Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Every Saturday morning, it's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Terry takes you inside the outdoors. You know, hunting, fishing, camping. It's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Now, here's Terry.
All right, we're back, and let's go to the phones. And joining us, as he does every week at this time, is Nate Solinsky. Good morning, Nate.
Good morning, Terry. How are you today?
I'm doing well, but I guess I really screwed up. Karen told me you were on the line already, so you heard me talking about
it. I was on.
You.
I heard the nice things. That's two or three in a month, Terry. You're starting to spoil me, buddy.
I think I'm getting soft in my old age is what's happening.
Totally.
So I know we got, you know, this time of the year, Nate, it's hard to decide what we want to talk about. I mean, there's so much going on. You got big game. You got the fall fishing is fantastic. You got upland game coming up. You got waterfall. It's just, you know, the outdoorsman, it's just a plethora of activities in Colorado. So I know you're going to cover a couple. So just dig right in.
You know, Terry, it is. Honestly, of all the shows we've done in the last month or so, I got to say this one probably has the most information just because so much is going on. And, you know, there's always fall fishing, and usually of all the species that we target, there's one or two that stands out. Honestly, we had that cold front really drop the water temperatures, then it warmed up, and it's kind of been the best. We have everything going on. So, I mean, right now we're kind of in, there's an Eastern big game season going on as far as your deer hunting out east, but really we are in kind of a lull in anticipation for the second rifle coming up. So next Saturday starts our second rifle here in Colorado, which is a combined season. So it's our first deer rifle hunt. It's our second elk rifle hunt. And it's looking great. If you are a big game hunter, you know that our structured seasons are later this year. So this is a very, very late second rifle. So it's awesome. So a general second rifle tag is just a little early for deer. And kind of puts you in that prime kind of, you know, early post rut on elk. And this year, the second rifle is lining up to be perfect. So it's later than a normal second rifle would be. So it is putting us in a very prime time for some big deer. We're not really in a rut phase yet, but I'll tell you, it's late enough in the season and it's been cool enough in the high country to where a lot of those big deer are starting to come out. Mandy has a second rifle tag. So I've been out scouting a lot and I'm seeing a lot bigger deer than I normally would in the second rifle. So it's exciting. So I'm seeing bigger deer than normal. So we're pumped about that. And then on the second phase of the elk, it's usually post rut. So usually we make it through the first rifle season and you see a lot of the mature bulls leave the cows. With that said, they started to do that right during that first rifle hunt. So by that, you know, second, third day of first rifle, we saw a lot of these bulls leaving. And usually they are kind of in hiatus. They're hiding in the dark timber during the second rifle. This year, we are late enough in that second rifle that we're already seeing a lot of these independent bulls and bachelor group of bulls coming out of that timber, starting to feed again, starting to spend some time in some open country, and falling back into a regular pattern. So by next Saturday, I think our post-rut bulls are going to be starting to get into a normal early wintering pattern. So I think they're going to be very vulnerable by being out in the open. So I think next Saturday in your combined elk and deer season, you're going to have some giant deer out because it's late enough. You're going to have elk far enough along in the post-rut phase that they're going to be active. So I'm really anticipating a very, very successful second rifle just because I've been out every day scouting and it's looking good. So that's kind of that report there. And I couldn't be more excited about it. And then as you cross over into fishing, Terry, the
Before we cross into fishing, we got some time. With this difference in the deer and elk season this year, give us one maybe mistake you might be worried about that people will make with it being different, or a tip that might help them, something that maybe that they really need to pay attention to.
Perfect. The biggest thing with the deer, I am seeing drastically big deer. So we're seeing extremely mature animals kind of statewide starting to come down. They start to drop out of the high country. They're starting to come out of the timber. They're not with the does, but they're kind of watching the does. With that being said, we're close enough to the rut to where these deer are decisions. Once the true rut kicks in, all these deer care about is breeding. And again, I don't ever want to call them dumb, but they definitely get careless once the rut's here and you can get by making mistakes. we are not close enough to the rut for those big deer to where I've been seeing them every day, multiple big deers in multiple areas and regions of the state. So with that said, if you put too much pressure on these big deer, you get winded, you slam the car doors, you know, get caught moving around a lot, they will leave and they will not return until that rut starts kicking in. So I think a lot of the real big deer, you're going to have one or two opportunities on. So you can scout them now, find them, build patterns, then come back. Don't get careless. Don't, you know, go in too early and let them. Again, I think people are going to get used to seeing some big deer throughout the week of scouting, but make no mistake, they're not here for the rut. So they're here now, but they are still very sensitive to pressure. So you overpressure them, you booger them up in any way, and they're gonna be gone and not come back until basically the middle of third rifle. So again, be super cautious with that. Same thing with the elk. I think the biggest thing is with the elk, you're looking for that smaller groups, and you are definitely hunting a very small window. These bachelor bulls and independent bulls, the ones I've been watching this last week, have been active for maybe an hour in the morning, an hour at night. So you have to be set up in position, really ready to activate to create that successful opportunity early. So if your bulls are in 4 miles, 5 miles, it's not saying down until 8:30, 9 in the morning. I talked to hunters this week, you know, out scouting. They're like, man, it's 9 o'clock. I can't believe the bulls are in the trees. And I'm like, 9 o'clock. Like, man, it, you know, 7 o'clock, I'm starting to see these bulls retreat back to kind of their bedding grounds. They are in a rest phase. They just bred for, you know, 4 weeks, 6 weeks. They've been working hard. Their daytime patterns are very short. A lot of what they're doing is nocturnal. So again, my biggest tip to the elk, make sure that you are in position, have them scouted out, and you capitalize on a very short daytime window to create that success. So those are the two biggest tips going into the second rifle season.
Great, great, great information, Nate. Now let's go into the fishing. And I know you guys are on the water guiding. Fall fishing can be just some of the best of the year. What are you seeing out there?
So I'm going to kind of run you through the bites quick, and then we can kind of elaborate. So we're starting hills. Number one, I probably saw the biggest and most successful spawn of browns that I've ever seen in my life at Antero. I mean, these fish are at the boat dock. They're at the inlet. They're on sandy, rocky portions of the little islands and shorelines. It's been many years since I've seen the browns gather this good at Antero. We're seeing fish to 30 inches, a lot of those mid 20 inch fish, full spawn colors, and we're catching them with everything. If they're truly in kind of that spawn cycle, we're doing best with fly rods, egg patterns, worms, the traditional spawning fly presentations in shallow water, and that bite is awesome. In a pre-post from that spawn, post-spawn. But for the conventional tackle angler, we're catching them on hair jigs, and most importantly, we're catching them on jerk baits. But that big brown population at Antero right now, it's shining. We're also seeing a lot of browns at 11 miles. So we are getting towards, let's say, the tail end of that. So this is not a bite that I would wait around on. But if you're looking for that big giant brown, which we have lots of in Colorado, right now that opportunity is thriving. So that's definitely a must bite to try out. Also, speaking of South Park, those big rainbows, our water is now in the 40s. So we're 42 to 46 degrees, depending on the day. Everybody thinks that water cools off and the mindset is to go deeper. And it's opposite. And we talk about this all the time. We talk about it at seminars. The biggest, I'd say, myth of the Colorado angler is fishing too deep. In this situation right now, these big giant rainbows are in extremely shallow water. We're seeing them move up into shallow as 1 foot, 2 foot of water. And then maybe on the deep feet of water right now, you go out to that 8-10 feet, you're catching fish, but they're on the smaller side. You want to have a good day of big fish and big numbers, it's all about shallow water, 2-3 feet of water. And that's everywhere. 11 mile, Antero, we're hearing about that in Middle Park, North Park. So as that water cools, so many anglers think that everything slows down, go deeper. They associate the cold water to cold fishing, when in reality, those fish thrive in it. They're shallow, they're aggressive, and that bite is on, and it's phenomenal. And again, it's kind of one of those must bites.
You know, before we move on from that, if you can get a boat on anywhere right now, or even if you're shore fishing, especially the mountain lakes, and soon down here on the Front Range, it's time to start, if you're an ice fisherman, it's time to start noting where those
urinate. Are you still there, Terry?
Yeah, I'm here. Did you hear me?
Perfect. Yep, I did. You know, and it's funny that you said that because yesterday I actually marked 12 different coordinates on the Antero for ice fishing spots. Very particular little fall-offs on sand to rock. Some particular weed lines that are very active. I marked a lot, and I actually had ice, very skim ice, but in the little boat COVID Antero, you know, it was only 1 foot from shore, but I got there. It was 12 degrees in Antero yesterday morning. That water's 42, and I had skim ice on the shore. Again, we're a long ways from ice fishing there, but I know some guys that are hiking in the lakes at 13,000, I should say, and there is ice there. So whether you like it or not, ice is coming, and it's coming quick. So every time I'm on the water, no matter where I'm at, I am definitely having that in mind, setting some special coordinates, marking it on a handheld device or your phone, and prepping for it. Because, again, where the fish are now statewide is a good starting point of where they're going to be come early ice. So definitely positive there. And then as we swing on the front range, Terry, Chatfield, Cherry Creek, Pueblo, they are all fishing good. I'd love to spend a second breaking down Chatfield, Cherry Creek. Especially because we're seeing the multi-species thing go. Chatfield right now, you go out there today, we have guides out there today, we've got a walleye bite going day and night. So daytime, jigging wraps, blades on structure. Nighttime, these fish are very much repeating kind of a springtime. You can cast jerk bait, you can troll jerk bait, you can stroll jerk bait, but there's a ton of shad, and those big walleyes are right under those shad baits. Thick bait again. Those big fish kind of tonight are sitting about 4 to 6 feet below the surface, and that bite is on.
Okay, Nate, we lost a little bit. I think we got most of it. Go ahead.
Perfect. So again, that night bite at Chatfield, day bite at Chatfield, blades and wraps during the day, jerk baits at night, it is on fire. Then you move over to kind of more daytime activity. The smallmouth have now made the transition from a crawdad forage to a shad forage. So what that is, you know, when our walleye, or excuse me, when our bass around that 55 degree mark, they make the determination from shad to crawdad to kind of multiple food sources. Once that water starts getting into that mid 50s, we start to see the transition of these bass leaving the shorelines and starting to activate in deeper water when they start feeding on shad. The bass have now done that. So you can now go to deeper structure. You can target smallmouths just like a walleye, spoons, blade baits, jigging wraps. And when you find these bass, they are stacked up. When they're on the shore, it's kind of a bass here, a bass there. When they move to that deeper structure and stack up, I drove over a kind of an underwater, deep water roadbed at Chatfield the other day, and there was probably 500 bass stacked on it. I mean, it is literally so much fun to target these bass in that deeper water. They're in, you know, anywhere from 18 to 30 feet of water, and they are stacked. So the smallmouth by a Chatfield, now they're in that deep water, vertical jigging, absolutely a ball. Great bite for anyone, youth anglers, you know, family, new anglers. They're stacked up, and I wouldn't say that they're hard to catch. So that bite's great. We are also seeing our perch stacked on deeper water flats. So 18 to 30 feet of water sitting on mud, our perch have gathered up. You talk to a lot of anglers that talk about the booming days of perch at Chatfield, how those perch are stacked up. So again, 18 to 30 foot mud flats. Those perch are running on the small end, 8 inches, on the big end, 13 to 14 inches. They are jumbos, and they're there. So if you're a perch panfish angler, there's opportunity at Chatfield to hit right now. And then you jump over to Cherry Creek, same thing. Daytime walleyes, jigs, wraps, nighttime jerk bait. And again, you talk about a fish that's cranking out a lot of 30-inch fish. It's at Cherry Creek right now in that low light period.
All right, my friend, we are out of time. Tell people if they want to book a trip or more information, how they get a hold of you and any upcoming events.
Absolutely, Terry. You can always go to our Facebook page, go to our website. We are going to start talking a lot of ice fishing coming up here very soon. So excited about that. Follow that. And always go to the Colorado Parks and Wildlife social media pages. We've got some great live feeds this Tuesday covering more in-depth detail about that second rifle elk tag. So a lot of stuff. Just look us up, social or the web. And we'll get you all that information.
All right, my friend, and I'll try not to be so nice to you next week.
I appreciate it, sir.
All right, Nate, have a good rest of the weekend. Nate Zielinski, always a great resource. Before I go to a break here, I want to let you know, Nate and I were talking about using your GPS right now to mark ice fishing spots, you know, whether it's a piece of structure that you isolated on your boat that's so much easier to find than you can during the ice season, or where the fish are active, you put some spots in. I did a couple shows on electronics. Now, they're a little bit older electronics, but the concepts are there. I did one at Doughty Reservoir where I used GPS that I'd gotten in the summer and showed you how I went right to the fish, found them and caught them in the winter. And then I did something similar at North Michigan Reservoir where I showed you how to use the electronics to really isolate those fish for ice fishing. So go to the Best of Fishing with Terry Wickstrom on YouTube and take a look at those. We're going to take a time out. When we come back, the folks from Jack's are going to join us, and we're going to talk about the availability of gear for all these hunting activities that are going on right here in Colorado on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors, presented by Jack's Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan.